Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got an outstanding show coming up for you today, but first I want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Goldberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirades, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And, of course, I want to thank all our sponsors, and you are great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And remember, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. And if you'd like to listen on demand, our regularly aired programs are up on most of the major podcasting sites, and you can also catch Tom's Tirade on demand at castbox.com. Check us out on Facebook. A lot of good information is posted there. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SDN. And we've got a packed show coming up for you today, so if we can't get to everything or you'd like more information on any of the topics that we cover, you can always check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics that we cover. Later on SBN, we'll talk with Ms. Jennifer Berg from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly. She'll get us up to speed on the latest legal issues facing our veterans. But we'll also speak with award-winning artist Nori Hendricks about her support for veterans and our military. The Navy backtracks on its football motto in the wake of recent shootings. We'll give you the latest there. And, of course, Tom's tirade on the gun is civilization. It's a pretty timely topic and one you don't want to miss. The Second Amendment rights for our veterans has been an issue that we've been following here on SBN for a number of years. Specifically, the ability of the VA to remove those rights without any due process. Now, in the wake of the Texas and Ohio shootings, President Trump has announced that he may support so-called red flag laws that could impact veterans and their ownership of guns. And the story off of military.com, Tom, it's coming in the wake of the shootings over the weekend, which were absolutely horrific. It's another one of those dark days in our history, I think, or a couple of days. But in the wake of it, President Trump said that he supported so-called, quote, red flag laws on gun sales and ownership. And he's supporting those, and that has drawn some criticism from folks who support Second Amendment rights, especially for veterans. And he's come out saying that he wants to have these red flag laws, which are also known as extreme risk protection orders, to keep weapons out of the hands of those who may pose a risk to themselves or others. And there is no federal red flag law right now. And in the absence of that, there are at least 16 states in the District of Columbia that have enacted their own versions. And these laws enable family members or police to obtain court orders blocking access to firearms for those who may be at risk to themselves or others. Now, I mean, Tom, it's on its face, it sounds like, you know, something that's perfectly sensible. Well,
It looks like on the face of it, Cal, that's a good move. But then when you look at what they can do to our veterans and how our veterans, just because of maybe a disability that they have or a percentage of disability that they're receiving, for their injuries, that then they can throw a red flag up there and take away their rights to own weapons or have weapons.
Well, now, and for those of you who may not be up to speed with what's going on with our veterans and the VA in particular, right now the VA can effectively remove the rights of a veteran to possess or purchase a firearm simply because someone in the VA bureaucracy says that person is not fit. And it's not necessarily that they've been diagnosed with some sort of, it's not necessarily that it's PTSD, Tom. It could be that they have had to have a third party appointed to manage their benefits. I mean, it may be a situation where, dad likes to go down to the casinos a little too much and blow his VA benefits. And you appoint somebody, or even the veteran themselves says, "Hey, I need somebody to manage my finances."
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm having trouble writing these checks. Can we, then first thing you know, they've taken all of those rights away from him. And when they do that, they open Pandora's box on these other things that they can do.
Well, it is, and of course, somebody that has a problem paying their bills may not necessarily have any problems with owning or being able to take care of a firearm.
Sure. Sure.
But the VA can do that, and there is no due process involved, Tom.
No.
I mean, you don't get a letter from the person who has signed off on it saying, "I'm the one who's saying you can no longer have access to a firearm."
Right.
And at least in most states, someone has to go before a judge, or someone has to go before some sort of system before they can remove those Second Amendment rights. So the balance here, Tom, is that it looks as though there may be some movement in Congress to protect those veterans and their benefits or their rights.
I would like to see that. I would certainly like to see that happen.
Last month, Representative Phil Rowe, who's a Republican from Tennessee, he's a ranking member of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and Representative Colin Peterson, a Democrat out of Minnesota, introduced a bill called the Veterans Second Amendment Protection Act. And this bill would prevent veterans from losing their ability to buy or own a firearm when the Department of Veterans Affairs approves having a third party help manage their benefits. And Peterson, who is the Democrat, and this is absolute common sense, whether it's a Democrat or Republican, said, quote, "Just because a veteran has someone manage their VA benefits shouldn't disqualify them from owning a firearm.
Right.
This bill will ensure that veterans' rights are protected by due process."
So true.
So, that maybe there's some give and take here, that even though they're moving through with these sort of red flag laws, Congress is finally stepping up to the plate to make sure that our veterans don't have those rights removed without them even knowing it, Tom. This is not something where they bring you in and assess you. This is simply someone in that bureaucracy checked the box, and you suddenly are no longer allowed to possess or purchase firearms. And interestingly enough, Tom, close to the end of the Obama administration, because this is tied in with the Brady Bill and some reporting requirements that come from that. But at the end of the Obama administration, Obama directed the Social Security Administration to start doing the exact same thing, because if somebody had to help manage someone's Social Security benefits, according to federal law, the same thing should have happened to them. But it wasn't being done. Can you imagine? And we said, you know, can you imagine all the Social Security recipients
up
in arms, literally, about something like this?
Yeah, they can do that with all the Social Security people, and then they'll move it on over to the veteran side of it.
Right. Well, of course, they pulled that one. They pulled that one after they moved forward with it. There was too much of an outcry. I guess it doesn't matter when it's our veterans that are involved. But as always, you can always visit scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, it's Jennifer Byrd with the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Hit a lick against what's wrong, or say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, Voice of the Veterans for the Veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. And check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at @Cal_SBN. And it's always a pleasure to be joined here on the Scuttlebutt by one of our legal eagles, Ms. Jennifer Byrd with the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly. Jennifer, welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Thanks, Cal. Nice to be here again.
Tell you what, Jennifer, it's neat to have you on board here and bring us up to date with... You know, it's kind of, I'm always talking about my gurus, you know, and the people that I call experts. So, as far as I'm concerned, Jennifer's a guru. But tell us a little bit more about the burn pits in Iraq. That has become, and we'll let you use your phrase on it.
I have heard this said, and I absolutely believe that this is my generation's Agent Orange.
Right. So true.
I mean, it took decades for the U.S. government to acknowledge the harm that Agent Orange did, the devastating health effects. We absolutely cannot have that happen.
No.
Just to give you some stats, from June 2007 through November 2018, the VA processed about 12,000 disability claims related to these burn pit exposures in Iraq and Afghanistan. But of those claims, there's only been 2,000 that were granted.
That's what, 20%?
Yeah. And, you know, it's absolutely amazing to me that they weren't granted more, because the VA has acknowledged, maybe not so much publicly, but within the agency itself, that these environmental hazards that happened in these different places are harmful to our vets. And they are harmful. They knew it was going on at the time. You know, this one's very... very personal for me as well. I mean, I have a lot of friends that served in Iraq and Afghanistan. My younger brother served there. They were all exposed to the harmful effects there. The VA, as early as August of 2010, they issued this training letter to the different people to acknowledge the hazards. And what they said is that there are numerous environmental hazards in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other military installations that could potentially present health risks to service members and those veterans, and that those have been identified by the VA. And they discuss them as large burn pits throughout Iraq, Afghanistan, and Djibouti on the Horn of Africa. This particulate matter in Iraq and Afghanistan, anyone that is exposed to this large sulfur fire at Mishraq State Sulfur Mine near Mosul in Iraq, and the hexavalent chromium exposure at the water treatment plant in Basra in Iraq.
Well, you know, and that's unbelievable. But now they're recognizing this. But, you know, I know cadres like myself go back, and when even back when we were in service, that's all we ever had was burn pits. You know, and everything mm-hmm. was just, you know, you burn it and then run a bulldozer over it, cover it up.
Well, and the thing about these burn pits, everything went in. It wasn't just human waste. It was everything.
That's where I'm going. But ours was mostly with just waste. Then back then, we had cardboard and wood and what have you and human mm-hmm. waste. But now, over there, they were throwing away all of the electronic components and all the electronics that was damaged. And in those electronic components, they had all of these dangerous chemicals.
That's correct.
And, you know, and the guys didn't have to be walking by the burn pit. All of that stuff got in the air, and we breathed it. We had an intake into our lungs. It's like the asbestosis
right.
deal.
That is absolutely right. Look, let me give you something else. This air base in Balad, they estimated there was about 2 tons of material burned per day in the early stages of deployment. That's only in the early stages of deployment. After that, there was an increase to possibly several hundred possible 700 tons per day. They had a 10-acre burn pit.
That's a big pit.
Yeah, pit. And then think about how much that is dispersed through the air.
Sure.
How far, how many miles away is that? The thing about filing these claims, and you've heard me say this before, I've said it on your show, if you're a veteran of any of these places and you were exposed, you need to file the claims if you're having right. health right. issues that are related. This is going to be one of those things where if your service records show that you were in Iraq, Afghanistan, or Djibouti, all you need is a lay statement saying that you were around a burn pit, and the VA is supposed to accept that as sufficient to establish that you were there.
Right.
You know, it's not supposed to be something that you have to prove on this day I was there.
Right.
You should have some lay statements.
Now, that being said, though, the veteran has to show his injuries and or sickness that he feels like it was obtained from that.
Yeah, you still have to have a disability. You can't just say, hey, I was exposed to this, and so you need to grant me some kind of monetary compensation. You still have to have a disability. So some of those illnesses that have been identified are respiratory illnesses, cardiopulmonary, neurological, autoimmune, skin disorders. They're also in the process of trying to connect possibly some cancers to it. I mean, this is, as I said, our generation's Agent
right,
Orange. It's so far-reaching, we just don't know where it goes now.
Well, in relation to that, then, if you have any of these or any symptoms of these, then you need to go ahead and file a claim. If you do have some of the items of disabilities that may not be recognized now, if you file your claim now, then later on when these disabilities are recognized, then it will go back to the date when you filed your claim. Is that not true?
Correct. We're looking at effective dates. It's the same thing that these veterans that have been fighting with
Don't
Agent
wait.
Orange
yeah.
all this long, they have these effective dates that's gone back. They've been trying to fight. It's the same concept. If you think that you've been exposed and you have a disability because of that, file it now. Never wait to
right,
file these
right.
claims.
Well, it doesn't cost them anything to file it.
No, it absolutely
doesn't.
It
doesn't cost a thing to file it. You know, and that's the idea. And let's get the paperwork in and let's get it working, right. guys.
Absolutely.
You're exposed to so much over there. Go ahead.
You know, one of the things that I said a minute ago was about this big fire that was at this sulfur mine in northern Iraq. This is Mishraq. This was this huge fire, and anybody that's over there, they probably had heard about it. This was so far-reaching, the particles, they found that they were like 25 kilometers to the south. At Camp Q West, this was the primary area of deployment for the 101st Airborne. They were all exposed to this stuff that was coming out of that sulfur plant. All the way up to Mosul. I mean, so anytime during that four-week period, starting from June 24th of 2003, 4 weeks after that, if you were over there and you were
right.
exposed to that, like I said, you need to file
yeah.
it. You need to file
somewhere
it.
Down the line. You're probably going to have some repercussions from that.
That's yeah. correct. That's correct. Now there has been some actions by Congress. I think that we've hopefully learned. Our generation has learned that the fight needs to be done now. We have a really great bipartisan congressional burn pit Congress. It's led by Brad Winstrup and Raul Ruiz, and Ruiz has said that there are hundreds of different chemicals that are producing a variety of illnesses, just like kind of what happened with Agent Orange.
Right.
And together they said that we've been through this song and dance before with Agent Orange, and that's why they feel that they need to introduce legislation right now for that. There's another thing that if you've been exposed to any of this, there's a burn pit registry that was created in 2014. It is operated and run by the VA. If you've been exposed, you should go to that registry and look at it and see if you want to put your name on it.
Now, where can we find that?
It's at the VA's website, and it's the Burn Pit Registry.
Burn Pit Registry at the VA website.
That's correct.
Okay.
And just to give you, you can enroll in it if you are in Operation Enduring Freedom, Iraqi Freedom, or New Dawn. If you are in Djibouti, Africa, on or after September 11th, 2001, Operations Desert Shield or Desert Storm, or if you were in the Southwest Asia Theater of Operations on or after August 2nd of 1990.
Okay. Well, covers it. That covers a real broad group of guys there. We're talking about thousands and thousands.
This is so far reaching, we don't know how far it's going to go.
So you guys at Gordberg and Kimmler are already working on and filing some of these claims and getting them filed, so you have a lot of background and experience on it.
Absolutely. This is a very important issue, and we're definitely on it.
How do they get in touch with you?
They can contact us at 251-343-1111, or they can always go to our website at gardberglaw.com.
All right, they don't have to specifically ask for you. They can just call in and tell them that they want to talk to somebody about the burn pit, that they were there, and then you will assign someone there to take care of it.
That's absolutely correct. We'd love to help them. Please give us a call.
That's awesome. We're going to take a short break here, and we'll be right back.
Fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret.
Soldier since I was 19, and I still haven't learned how to wait for it. I wanted a mission for my sins. They gave me one.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, voice of the veterans for the veterans. On 106.5 FM and firing shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters here with Tom Claxton, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. Hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_FBN.
And we certainly want to thank the fine folks that continue to help us make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our Sea Lawyer Group, Colin Kimberly, and all his fine folks at the law firm of Gordberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And it is an honor to be joined on the Scuttlebutt by an award-winning artist and great supporter of our veterans and military, Ms. Nori Hendricks. Nori, welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Thank you so much. I'm just so proud to be here.
Oh, hey, we're just so proud to be able to have such an distinguished artist as yourself and to have someone that works. Your dad was a vet. Your dad was in Nam.
Yes.
And you're going to play a song for us here in a little bit that you had written for him.
Yes.
And, and he was a vet, so it kind of works into the vet thing. But it is neat. You're working you've got so many numerous awards here in the last year or so. Tell us about it, lady.
Well, I moved here in 2014 from Wichita, Kansas.
Well, we're blessed.
Thank you. And so many great things have happened with me and my music career because we moved to Mobile, and I was able to network and meet a lot of people, a lot of fellow musicians in and around the city, all the way, down to Orange Beach and everywhere else. And I just joined an organization called the Alabama Music Association, and I won Alabama Female Vocalist and Entertainer for 16, 17, and 18.
You got to be kidding.
Yeah, oh, so it was fantastic.
Kill an autograph, girl. Get my picture made with you. What you say?
Well, winning those state awards.
Well, hell yes.
It was so great, and so I just felt so fortunate to have scored high enough to win those awards.
Yes.
And that set me on pace to go to the North American Country Music Association in Pigeon Forge. They hold it every March.
Oh, my goodness.
And so
you were there for that, too?
I went there, and I won 3 national awards since I've been there. Most Promising Songwriter in North America.
That's awesome.
Most Promising Female Vocalist in North America. And then this year, for 2019, we had the Traditional Country Band of the Year in North America. So
that is so great.
None of that would have happened if I hadn't came to Alabama.
Well, there's nobody in Alabama that originated in Alabama. We all came from somewhere else.
Okay.
Because we knew that it was good vibes over here, you know. And yeah. Most of us came from Mississippi or somewhere, you know. But it's neat to see an artist with your talent to be able to, you know, to perform and do what you're doing. But yet to have the thought for the veterans, and it goes back to your dad being a Vietnam vet.
Yes.
And you saw everything that he went through there, I'm sure.
Well, I was little. I know that we moved a lot because I was a Navy brat. We moved.
All right.
San Diego, Kingsville, Texas is where I was born. Millington, Tennessee. And my dad did 2 tours of Vietnam, and he was stationed on the USS Kearsarge.
Oh, neat.
And okay. So...
One is in Pensacola.
Yeah.
It is?
Didn't they put that...
I think that's the one that, yeah.
They sunk it.
They sunk it in Pensacola.
Oh,
so that's
I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay.
So
go ahead.
Anyway, my dad passed away in 2013, and as a way to honor him and his memory and his service... Because I feel like he was definitely a great American.
Sure he was.
As all servicemen
sure
are in my,
yes.
in my heart.
Well, yeah. Hey, you know, our country wouldn't be here without our veterans.
That's right.
You know, so we have to accept that. And a lot of people don't. And they forget real fast.
You know?
But I'm so proud to see a lot of the folks don't forget how we got here and who helped us get here. And that's our vets.
Yeah. So I love to perform for the veterans. And I've done shows at the Robert Dole Hospital in Wichita.
Awesome.
I've played for the Combat Vets, the Blinded Veterans Association, Team River Runner for South Alabama, that chapter that's located here.
Okay.
And just combat veterans, benefits, American Legions.
So you're available to a veteran service organization or group that were – that may be interested in doing something for veterans and need a musical group to be there. You're available to do that for a reasonable figure, I'm sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
that is so great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you want to see if you can give us this song that you have written for your dad.
Okay.
And if there's something else you want to bring up, or if not, we can we'll finish our conversation when you get through with your great show that you're fixing to do here.
Okay.
All right.
There's
a yeah.
All right. Okay, so I wrote this song after my dad had a heart attack, and I couldn't think of what to name it, so I named it Tribute because it seemed to be the right name.
Okay.
And I played it for him at a club one night, and everybody loved it, and I got a standing ovation, and it was just an incredible father-daughter experience. So I hope you all enjoy this song. So many songs have been written about love and family, but none of them come close to describing him and me. So I took it on myself to take the things that my heart feels and make them rhyme. It started years ago in 1961. I came into this world, he had to leave for Vietnam. But he said, honey, don't you cry, your daddy loves you, you'll be fine, and I'll be home soon. And he came back home just like he said he would. And through the years he worked real hard so I could have it good. And the bond between us grew, and there was nothing he couldn't do in my eyes. He was always there to catch me when I'd fall, and he couldn't tell me anything. I thought I knew it all, in spite of the hell I put him through. There was nothing I couldn't do in my eyes, in his eyes. Now I'm all grown up with children of my own, and all the things he taught me I'll try to pass along. So daddy, don't you cry, you know I love you, I'll be fine, and I'll be home soon. I'll be home soon.
Yay! How about that? Come on, girl. Yeah.
Thank you.
Girl can sing. Yes, sir. No, she can sing. We're going to have to take a break, and we certainly want to thank Nora Hendricks for being here, and you'll be here and around the Mobile area.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you very
All
much.
Right. You're blessed. Discussion about gun control coming in the wake of the terrorist attack in San Bernardino, although entirely misplaced, but nonetheless thrust into the national psyche by the pulpit of the bully-in-chief, has driven me to examine a bit more about how the Second Amendment has affected our nation from its very founding. Along the way, I have discovered that some very astute observations that I would like to share with you here. The first is a commentary by Major L. Caudill, USMC retired, entitled, "The Gun is Civilization." I think it speaks volumes about who we are and where we have come from and who we will continue to be if we exist at all as a society. Human beings only have two ways to deal with one another, reason and force. If you want me to do something for you, you have a choice of either convincing me via argument or force me to do your bidding under threat of force. Every human interaction falls into one of these two categories without exception. Reason or force, that's it. In a truly moral and civilized society, people could exclusively interact through persuasion. Force has no place as a valid method of social interaction, and the only thing that removes force from the menu is the personal firearm. As paradoxical as it may sound to some, when I carry a gun, you cannot deal with me by force. You have to use reason and try to persuade me because I have a way to negate your threat or employment of your force. The gun is the only personal weapon that puts a 100-pound woman on equal footing with a 220-pound mugger, a 75-year-old retiree on equal footing with a 19-year-old gangbanger, and a single guy on equal footing with a carload of drunken guys with baseball bats. Isn't that the damn truth?
The gun removes the disparity in physical strength, size, or numbers between a potential attacker and a defender. There are plenty of people who consider the gun as a source of bad force equations. They are the people who think that we'd be more civilized if all guns were removed by society, because a firearm makes it easy for an armed mugger to do his job. That, of course, is only true if the mugger's potential victims are mostly disarmed either by choice or by legislative fiat. It has no validity when most of the mugger's potential marks are armed. People who argue for the banning of arms ask for automatic rule by the young, the strong, and the many. And that's the exact opposite of a civilized society. A mugger, even an armed one, can only make a successful living in a society where the state has granted him a forced monopoly. Then there's the argument that the gun makes confrontation lethal and otherwise would only result in injury. This argument is fallacious in several ways. Without guns involved, confrontations are won by the physically superior party, inflicting overwhelming injury on the loser. People who think that fists, bats, or sticks, or stones don't constitute legal force watch too much TV, where people take beatings and come out of it with a bloodied lip at the worst. The fact that the gun makes lethal force easier works solely in favor of the weaker defender, not the stronger attacker. If both are armed, the field is level. The gun is the only weapon that's as lethal in the hands of an octogenarian as it is in the hands of a weightlifter. It simply wouldn't work as well as a force equalizer if it wasn't both lethal and easily employable. When I carry a gun, I don't do so because I'm looking for a fight, but because I'm looking to be left alone. The gun at my side means that I cannot be forced, only persuaded. I don't carry it because I'm afraid, but because it enables me to be unafraid. It doesn't limit the action of those who would interact with me through reason. Only the actions of those who would do so by force. It removes force from the equation, and that's why carrying a gun is a civilized act. Not a bad read and a perfect common sense approach to the debate. Taken to its logical conclusion, in fact, the greatest civilization is one where all citizens are equally armed and can only be persuaded, never forced. This is why our founding fathers understood all too well, having lived under the heavy hand of the British. But because they were armed, they were able to overcome and fight off their oppressors. Not because they had better diplomats or lawyers or a well-armed police force. No, they won because they had the weapons with which to overthrow England, which until that time had been known as the most formidable fighting force in the world. Yes, along the way, there was much bloodshed on both sides. And as it was said, the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with blood of patriots and tyrants. To say that we as a nation have forgotten this might be a bit of a stretch. Remember, the Japanese in World War II said that they would never invade the U.S. mainland because behind every blade of grass would be a patriot with a gun. I think that today, probably more so than at any time in our history, we should embrace the purpose of the Second Amendment and embrace an armed citizenry, at least an armed law-abiding citizenry. For not only is the gun an equalizer between force and reason, it does not discriminate due to political correctness. A dead terrorist is a dead terrorist, and the civilized gun speaks louder than the barbarian's knife any damn day. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
If you open the ball on these people, Mr. Nash, you must be prepared to go all the way, because they won't give up the fight until one of you is dead.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago.
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Let me get all my stuff up together. But Dory, one of the main things that I wanted to do is ask you to give us your contacts and your website.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I have a beautiful new website. It was designed by Nicole Rose of Music Victor's Agency out of Gulf Shores. And we just launched it yesterday, and it's absolutely amazing. It's got all my info, contact information. social media. Of course, I've got an official Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, all those things. So that's the best way to get me is to just to go to the website and then just submit your request on that online.
That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
How much time we got, Charlie?
About 2 minutes.
All right. Well, I know Cal's on there. He said that he's not, you know, you're not, haven't got him into the board yet. So there we go. You in there now, Cal?
No.
Okay.
His phone's on mute, he said.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's that's going to bring us close to the closing of tonight's edition of the. Does that sound like him coming in?
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Try that and let's see what. You on board?
Yeah.
All right. Come on board. Come on in and close the show. Yeah, that's not working. So, but we're getting close to the end of the show, tonight's edition of the show anyway, and I tell you, it was really nice to have you on board, Nora. You're an awesome singer, and I'm sure we'll be hearing you on the Gulf Coast here and in some of the areas and around some of the places, but I know that you're going to be working with one of the vet groups here. Maybe
yes.
Tell us, just mention that.
Oh, Team River Runner,
all right.
South Alabama chapter. We're going to be having a veterans family retreat September 27th through the 29th out at Camp Grace.
That's awesome. Now, we have a doctor that's participating in this with you?
Dr. Tanya Butler.
Right. We need to get her on before then and
absolutely.
Let's get a little bit more information about that. That's an awesome event, and having it on out of Camp Grace is just unbelievable.
Yes.
And do you have any idea about how many troops or vets we'll have involved in this?
I don't know how many are registered at this time.
Okay.
But I know we're still open for, you know, having as many veterans come to the event as possible.
Okay. Well, it's awesome to have that. But let's get the doctor on board and let's bring us all that information to our veteran group here and that's listening to us here on the Gulf Coast. And guys, I apologize for not being able to close out the show as we should here. We had a problem with our tie line to start with, and now we've had a problem with the telephone situation that we've had here out of Cal. It's not in the Mobile area or here at the studio tonight, but we're going to move forward to it. But again, a huge thank you to all of our supporters and sponsors, and please let them know you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. If you enjoyed the show, please tell a friend. If not, tell it to the Marines. Hoorah!